Our scripture this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the realm and shadow of death, light has dawned. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
I've been reading Borges at night. Jorge Luis Borges. He's from Argentina, or was when he lived and wrote in the middle of the last century. Borges is wonderful. Ask Henry, he'll give you a reading list. He's got this one story called Pierre Maynard, author of the Quixote. In it, there's this author, Pierre Maynard, who decides to write Don Quixote. The fact that Cervantes already wrote it 300 years earlier doesn't seem to bother him. He wants to write the classic Don Quixote again. Not a retelling, not an update to a modern setting. Maynard wants to write Don Quixote again, word for word. Borges writes that at first Maynard plans to learn Spanish, return to Catholicism, fight against the Moor or the Turk, forget the history of Europe from 1602 to 1918, in short, to become Miguel de Cervantes. But then he decided that that plan was too easy. Being somehow Cervantes and arriving thereby at the Quixote, that looked to Maynard less challenging than continuing to be Pierre Maynard and coming to the Quixote through the experiences of Pierre Maynard. After his death, they find fragments of his efforts. Borges praises Maynard's version of Don Quixote. He writes, "It is a revelation to compare the Don Quixote of Pierre Maynard with that of Miguel de Cervantes." Cervantes, for example, wrote the following, part 1, chapter 9. Truth, whose mother is history. This phrase, written in the 17th century by Cervantes, is mere rhetorical praise of history. But Maynard, on the other hand, writes, truth, whose mother is history. History, the mother of truth. The idea is staggering. Maynard defines history not as delving into reality, but as the very fount of reality. Historical truth for Maynard is not what happened, it is what we believe happened. The words of Cervantes and Maynard are identical, letter for letter, comma for comma. But for Borges, the same words echoed in another time and place find new life, new meaning, and shine new light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the shadow of death, a new light has dawned. We began our journey with Isaiah last week with a vision in the temple 2 weeks ago. The veil between heaven and earth is drawn back for a moment. The immensity of God and all of God's splendor and majesty is revealed to the young prophet. And when the Lord calls, "Whom shall I send?" He answers the call, "I'm here. Send me." And so then in the chapter that follows, chapter 7, Isaiah is sent to King Ahaz. Now, Ahaz is the king in Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't seem to think that Ahaz is a very good or particularly faithful king. And when he meets Isaiah, he's stuck. Let me set the stage for you. This is around 725 years before Jesus. And in the world of the ancient Near East, Assyria is the big fish in the pond, or more like the big shark. Everyone else is on notice. Ahaz is the king of Judah, and the two neighbor kings to the north come calling. They think that it's time to take a stand. They want Judah to sign up and join an alliance against Assyria. They ask Ahaz if he's in, and Ahaz says, let me get back to you on that. The neighbor kings are not impressed and decide that it's time for regime change in Judah. And so they think it's time to put a new king on the throne in Jerusalem who will go along with their plan. So they send their armies marching toward Jerusalem. And thus Ahaz is stuck. Assyria is not going to take kindly to any military alliance and is likely to bring down the hammer, but the neighbors to the north already have boots on the ground and are headed his way. Isaiah comes with a word from the Lord to hold firm. He tells Ahaz not to be afraid. Before long, those two kings that he is so worried about now will be gone. And God gives him a sign. You've heard it. The young woman shall be with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. And before that child comes of age, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. As Tom Long puts it, in a world bristling with power and armies on the march with swords at the ready, the sign of God's promise of peace is that most fragile and vulnerable of human realities, a pregnant woman and her soon-to-be-born child. That's chapter 7. Now here we are in chapter 9, two chapters later, and the child has been born. The prophecy has come true. The kings in the north are no longer a threat. But the shadow of Assyria looms large, and the lands to the north lie devastated. The prophecy of the child echoes on. Now in Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, a good king on the throne in Jerusalem. The words spoken have transformed into a coronation liturgy for the child. Once a sign, now here he is as a new king, bringing in a new age of peace. For unto us a child has been born. Unto us a sign is given, a son is given. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Under Hezekiah, Assyria lays siege to Jerusalem, but as promised, God is faithful, miraculously delivering them from the mighty Assyrian army. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the shadow of death, a new light has dawned. The prophet's words echo back again. This time in the Gospels, finding new life, new meaning, shedding new light. Matthew speaks these same words, but now they tell of a new child who has been born to us, a new Emmanuel, God with us, shining light. It has become a coronation liturgy for a new king, Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection shine light into the darkness. His life lived, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, that we might be set free from the realm of the shadow of death. The light shines in the darkness, overcoming death, bringing life. John's gospel tells it like this: in him was life, and that life was light for all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. I hear those words. These beautiful proclamations of shining light that shall not be overcome. But sometimes I have days. Days where I want to push back. Days when it feels like the darkness is winning. I want to push back to tell the prophet that he's naive. To push back, to ask God, where is the light now in this? Ahaz was delivered from the kings to the north, but after that came Assyria. Yes, God was faithful. Jerusalem was spared, but then came Babylon. God delivered them again, brought the people home from exile, but then came Greece and Rome. It's never finished. Some days I want to tell the prophet he is naive. The darkness keeps coming back. I want to ask him, where is the peace? Jesus came 2,000 years ago, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So where is it? Jesus, in whom was life, light for all people, light shining in the darkness. And yet here we are 2,000 years later, and there is still hurt, still darkness all around us. It isn't finished. Maybe that's why we need the echoes, because it isn't finished. Like stars in the night sky, the candles still burning, there are flashes of light, but it isn't finished. Maybe it's never finished, at least not yet. Then I noticed something odd about the prophet's words. The tenses are all jumbled up. It's a grammatical nightmare. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned, past tense. But then in verse 5, it's all the boots of the tramping warriors, all the garments stained in blood shall be burned, future tense. A child has been born. He is named Prince of Peace, and there shall be endless peace. Past, present, future, all jumbled together like these words. The prophecy of light shining in the darkness have been, are being, and shall be fulfilled. This is the strange mystery we proclaim. Emmanuel, God with us, who both has come and is coming. The kingdom of God is at hand and still to come. The light that shines in the darkness and the darkness that is with us still, these words have echoed and continue to echo across the centuries, finding new meaning, new life, shedding new light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the shadow of death, a new light has dawned. I was thinking about these echoes last week on Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King with his big words, echoes of the prophets finding new meaning, new life, shedding new light. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. We shall overcome. And the prophet's words continue to echo, even in our world, even into our darkness. We become both recipients and agents of the promise. The words echo now in our voices, finding new meaning, new life, shedding new light into the darkness around us, into the struggles of our world, the hurt and darkness of our own lives. We come to the communion table today. receiving the body of Christ as the body of Christ, recipients and agents of the promise, seeking to be creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace, echoing good news that the light has come and is coming. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the shadow of death, for those who sit in the shadow of death, a new light dawns. Amen.